Thank you, Graham, and good afternoon, Orange County Church of God. Yahoo. I'm going to give you a message, and I'm giving this message to four different churches here in the area, and I gave it last week in San Diego. And, you know, it's kind of interesting when you give a message, you think about what you said, and you can make it a little bit better. So this will be a bit better than the one last week. And this is about knowing and believing in Jesus Christ and having a relationship with Jesus Christ. So the thought for this has two things. About a year and a half ago when I was working with the home office on the coworker and subscription development, there's people that subscribe to the Beyond Today magazine, and you know, we were wanting to keep them updated with things and keep them motivated with what would be of interest to them. So we did a survey, and we asked them what was important to you, what did you want to learn more about? And when the results came back and were tallied, we found that the third most important thing to them to want to know was about Bible prophecy. Well, that makes a lot of sense. You know, a lot of people do want to know about prophecy. We're included in that bunch, but maybe it's not the number one thing we're thinking about. So number two, understanding the Bible, getting to know how the Bible's set up, who wrote the Bible, what it says. So again, very valid. But the first thing that was most important on people's minds was getting to know God the Father, getting to know God. Well, a few weeks ago, our pastor, Mario Segley, he gave a wonderful message on getting to know God. He used Jeremiah 9. So I'm going to start at that point and move forward. So Jeremiah 9, there was two verses that he used. Verses 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight. So I want to carry on with this idea about knowing God. So a specific purpose statement, you know, what I want to talk about is that we know there is a way to have a relationship with God the Father. And we get there through knowing and believing in Jesus Christ and keeping the commandments. It's that simple. Jesus told us how and gave us methods. He gave us reminders. He gave us stories. He gave us words. All of these to remember and to learn how to grow in that relationship. So now let's think about this idea about not knowing somebody. Not knowing somebody. Or you could even say, well, how well do I know you? We can come in here to a Sabbath service. We can have a nice conversation with a lot of different people, great spirit-led people, but we may not really get to know that person as well. You know, sometimes people, they don't want to tell you everything about themselves. So there's a little privacy issue that happens. But now in my business of counseling people and advising in financial decisions, I'm required to know thy client. It's a real basic rule. And we want to make sure we're not doing business with criminals who are doing money laundering, for instance. We want to make sure that we're not getting into trouble when we're working with folks. So now with this idea, know thy client. As an example, I recall another advisor, and boy, this was 15, 16, 17 years ago. And he had some husband and a wife in the office, and he was selling them some life insurance. Now, life insurance applications, now those are nosy. They want to know about all your health. You've had all your life. They want to know about your operations, what you eat, if you drink, if you smoke. A lot of very good questions for getting to know about that person's health style and lifestyle. The way it is now, it's even worse. You can lie on the application and say, no, I don't drink. But they're running an algorithm looking at your Vons Club card, finding out that you're buying a 12-pack of beer every week. So The insurance company can know your habits. They can know all about your net worth and everything, but they're still not getting into your head. They don't know what's inside your head. So now going back to this colleague at work with his life insurance application a couple years later, I remember the day some police officers came into the office looking for that advisor. And they had a subpoena and they wanted a copy of all that client's files. Well, what had happened? The gentleman who the life insurance was for, he met an unexpected death. You know, it's funny, in any business you're at, you get these yarns and these stories, you know, that you hear from one, you know, like plane operator. And so the story is that this man happened to roll down a flight of stairs while he was taped and tied to a chair while repeatedly stabbing himself with a pair of scissors. What had happened was his wife committed murder. And she was tried and convicted. And she never received any money from that life insurance policy. But now the story demonstrates, how well did that insurance company know these people? How many questions did we ask these people to try and get to know them? And yet we didn't know the murderer's heart in this woman. So now let's get on the topic about who does not know God. Who does not know God? So John 7, let's turn to John 7. We're going to be doing a lot of chapter 7s today. I'll tell you that right now. So John 7. And in verse 25 through 29, it says, now some of them from Jerusalem, these people that are talking, they're from Jerusalem, and they're talking to themselves, says, is this not he whom they seek to kill? But look, he speaks boldly. And they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly the Christ? And then they're saying, you know what though? We know where this man's from. But where the Christ is coming from, nobody knows. And Jesus cried out as he taught in the temple, saying, you both know me. You know where I'm from. And I have not come of myself. But he who sent me is true, whom you do not know. So he's telling these people, you don't know who sent me. Verse 29, but I know him. Jesus says, I know him. I am from him. He sent me. It's a mystery here, isn't it? He who sent Jesus is not named right here, but Jesus says he knows him. So let's look at the word know. What is the word know from? In Greek, it's really an easy word this time, eido. So you look at that word, and what's it mean? It means to be aware, to behold, to consider, to perceive. So this means when Jesus says, he who sent me is true, whom you are never aware of. That's what he's telling these guys. Says, he who sent me is true, whom you never behold. He who sent me is true, who you never consider. He who sent me the true, who you never perceive. But also Jesus says what? He says, I know him. I am aware of him. I behold him. I consider him. I perceive him. That's how his relationship was with the Father. Sevens, Matthew 7. Let's turn to Matthew 7. Back a few pages. And Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in these days, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons, done all kinds of work in your name? And Jesus is going to say, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness. I never knew you. I was never aware of you. I never beheld you. I never perceived you. And this idea of practicing lawlessness and thinking that you're doing God's will when actually it's being defined as lawlessness, as breaking his law, prophesizing in Jesus' name, casting out demons in his name, and many wonders. How can somebody be so confused to think they're doing God's will? And God doesn't even know you exist. He doesn't even know who you are as a person. He knows you're alive. He knows you're there. He can count the numbers of your head. He doesn't know you inside. Who is that person, he says? Mark 7. How does this happen? I think we know the answer to that, but we're going to review that anyway. Mark 7, verse 5. The Pharisees were having a conversation with our Christ. And he said, why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders, but they eat bread with unwashed hands? And Jesus answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it's written, the people honor me with their lips, their heart is far from me, and in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men, laying aside the commandments of God that they may keep the traditions of men, such as washing his pots and cooking this way and eating that way. He said to them, all too well you reject the commandments that you may keep your own traditions. So it goes on to say in verse 9, all too well you reject, you may keep your traditions. You know what a hypocrite is? A hypocrite is like an actor. It's somebody who claims or pretends to have certain beliefs, but in their actions, they act contrary to those beliefs. Think of the Crusaders, for instance. They're trying to go to Jerusalem, save Jerusalem, so when Jesus comes back, the city is there. And what do? They murder, they pillage, they hoard. They're not doing God's will. They're practicing lawlessness. They were lawless in their traditions. It comes down to a very basic point. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the ways are death. That's from Proverbs 16:25. So now the question is, how is it that we can come to know Jesus Christ and the Father? We can see what you can obviously do to not be known by him, but what can we do to be known by him? Because that's really what we're looking for. We know there is a way to have a relationship with God the Father. And we get there through knowing and believing in Jesus Christ and keeping the commandments. And Jesus told us how to grow that relationship. Let's go to John 14. That's 2 times 7. John 14. Remember Thomas, the apostle Thomas, doubting Thomas, never really was getting it. In John 14, verse 5, Thomas does not understand, and Thomas says to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going and how we know the way. How do we know? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. And big point, underline, no one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known the Father also. But from now on, you know him and you've seen him. And he's talking because he's talking to Jesus and he's right there and he knows Jesus. And Jesus is saying he is just like the Father. And then Philip says, Lord, show us the Father and that'll be good enough for us. That'll be sufficient. And Jesus said, have I been with you so long and yet you don't know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. No. But the Father who dwells in me, he does those works. Verse 11, believe me, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else believe me for the works that I've done, for the healing I've done, for the good things I've done. And verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. knowing and believing in Jesus is the way in developing and maintaining a relationship with God the Father. Now think about when we have relationships and we communicate with our friends. My friend Gary, he lives like a half a mile from me. We share times in our life. We've gone to the feast together. We go to dinner together. We share happiness. I listen to his music. We share adversity. Flat tires on the way to services. How lousy is that? We share our pain. I remember he picked me up at the hospital one day, you know, when I was getting out. We share our dreams and we share our hopes. The words of the gospel tell the story of Jesus Christ, who he was, what he said, what he liked, what he disliked. He calls us friends and brethren, and indeed, we are a family to him and our Father. Now, let's take a moment about the people that you know and have relationships with. And now, while you're thinking of these relationships, think about how well you know these friends. Have you been to their home? Have you seen your friend with uncombed hair and maybe day-old clothes, two-day-old clothes on? Have you seen them when they're in pain and not well? Have you seen them die? I've never had a friend that I've been with and they've died. I've had friends that have died, but I've never been there personally. That's very personal. But now let's think about our relationship with Jesus. Have you been to his home, the house of God? You know, in 1 Timothy 3:15, it says the house of God is the church of the living God, which you are here now. It's the pillar and the ground of truth. Have you seen Jesus beaten? Have you seen him bleeding? Is he bloody and dirty clothes? Is he dying of pain? Have you ever contemplated and meditated about his torture and crucifixion? I'm sure you have. There are very many converted people here that have had the Passover very many times. You've drank his blood. You've ate his body. And when we think about this, we come to realize that, yeah, I do know Jesus. Yeah, I do believe in Jesus. And we do so more than we think. Let's go to Matthew 25. Starting in verse 31. So Jesus, words of Jesus. Now this, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. I guess they kind of look alike. They grow hair the same. They kind of same size. You can kind of confuse them, but Jesus divides them. And he set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. And the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you since the foundation of the world. For when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. And a stranger, you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Have you ever had a prison pen pal? I bet you have. I know some of you have here. And you know what? My mom's 99 years old and she's locked up in a memory care unit. It's like prison to her. And yeah, I go see her too. And then it says, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we do this? He says, whenever you did it to me, whenever you did these things to me. So now Jesus, he's getting to know you by what you're doing. You're showing the love that spirit of him inside of you is making break out into great works of love. But then there's those that say, whoa, didn't I do a bunch of work in your name, Jesus? I know I didn't see you hungry. I mean, you're up in heaven. When were you hungry? When were you naked? And Jesus says, when you didn't do it to the least of these people, you didn't do it to me either. Assuredly, I say to you, verse 45, insomuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. So together we can share our believing and knowing of Jesus and his Father, and we can live with them and all the other righteous for eternity. That's the promise. And now right now, our Father is in this room right now with us. And if you're listening to this message on the website, he's with you too. You got to know that. The word is out. Our Father has a plan for us to have a close relationship and know him through the relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ. It changes your life. So maybe you don't get it yet about getting to know the Father through the Son. How does that work? I mean, good words, Howard, good scriptures, but how does that work? I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you of a relationship I once had with a young man. It was around 1980 or 81. I was young also. And I was working at the Cadillac dealer in Costa Mesa. And I was there for a few years, and my job was organizing the cars that came in for service. I'd send them to the tune-up or front end or wherever they had to go. And I had a crew of young men most of the time. Once in a while I'd get a girl, but most of the time it was young guys. And they were lot drivers, and we called them car jockeys. Interesting story is that we got Greg Nakashima on our prayer list. He was a car jockey for me once, long time ago. But anyway, Lance is this kid that got hired. Because, you know, somebody always has some kid that needs a job. Right, Cheryl? And this kid was Lance. He was fresh out of Edison High School in Huntington Beach. He was a smart kid. And you know what? His dad was the company controller. His dad signed all the paychecks for everybody at the dealership. But now what would happen? Lance was working with me on a daily basis, so Lance would go home and say, "Dad, Howard, so much fun. We did this today, you know, we parked this many cars, we did this, we did that, I washed cars, and boy, Howard was a lot of fun. Why don't you have him come over for dinner, Dad?" So eventually I go over and I meet his dad. Well, I'm totally blue collar in the dealership. I'm just this long hair, this is before the church, long hair and blue collar. And Stan, he was the controller. He drove in his Cadillac every morning. He had a suit and tie on, and he was CPA. He was totally educated and completely different people. But you know what? I got to know his dad, the Father, through the Son. The Father got to know me through the Son, through that introduction, through the conversation he's having with the Son. Even a greater part of the story is this guy, Stan, the controller, the Father. He's the one that says, "Howard, you're too smart. You need to get out of here. Go to college." I went to college. He says, "Howard, take this money. Go get your house. I bought a house." But the greatest thing he ever did for me, he hired this 20-year-old young lady named Tina, who would someday become my wife. God has a plan for us to have that close relationship with him. Close relationship. He will bring all your dreams to life. And we develop our relationship with God the Father through how? Believing and knowing Jesus Christ and keeping his Father's commandments. Unlike those who keep the traditions of men, Jesus calls them hypocrites. We are a people who honor God with our lips. We honor God with our minds. We honor God with our prayers and our very lives. We live by the commandments of God. And in that, it's creating a pure heart within us. Believing and knowing Jesus is the way to know the Father. I'm going to finish with a last scripture in Hebrews chapter 10, 19 through 15. Hebrews 10, 19. "Therefore, brethren, having the boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus." He's that friend who you saw die. He's that friend whose body you've ate, whose blood you've drank, and whose blood we can enter that holy place where God the Father dwells on his throne. "We get there by a new living way that he consecrated for us through the veil, his flesh. And he's now a high priest over the house of God. That's us. That's us here in the church of the living God. So let us draw near with a pure heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Yeah, remember your baptism. And we're going to celebrate that baptism here again soon during the Passover. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Jesus is faithful. And let's consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And brethren, circle this in your Bible, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching.